meeting of January 9, 2014. Can we start with the invocation, Donna, if you could lead us?
Dear Heavenly Father, bless us in this meeting to make the right decisions. And Father, look over our soldiers that are fighting to keep us free. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Danielle Ruslayer.
Here.
Ms. Mary Ann Colley.
Here.
Mr. Jason Kreider.
Here.
Mr. Donald Sparkman.
Here.
And Ms. Latricia Wilson is excused, and Mr. Bill Buckowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum.
There's been some amended minutes, I guess, that were left for us here. Has anybody had any questions about them, had time to look over them real quick? Okay, do we have a motion to accept?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
A motion by Donnie and a second by Kyle, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous. If we could swear in the officers this evening, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. For the record, Maureen Kennedy, Dwayne Thomas, Charles Rich, Matt Whitefield, and Lindsay.
Okay, as a matter of housekeeping, if you have a cell phone on you, if you could please turn it off or silence it for the duration of the meeting. And then Chip, I guess, if we have people present for cases that are on
the agenda this evening,
if we could start with those.
Yes, sir. To please the board, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name's Charles Rich, I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm a duly appointed code enforcement chief code official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 5 years. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting cases this evening. For the board's benefit, we do have some people to discuss a case, and we'll take those in order if it's all right with you.
Yeah, that's fine. Can you please identify the code enforcement officer that just arrived?
Yes, Jason Kreider. Jason Kilcrease just arrived, and he'll accept the oath if he has to testify.
Okay.
So please, the board, I go to see you on 1383.
Old business.
Is that old?
Yep.
This is City of Ocala versus Downey Industrial Land. This would be a hearing for non-compliance. You all recall at the last code board meeting, we had a respondent come forward and request that a property adjacent to her residence be cut and weeds and vines taken off of her fence line and whatnot. The board ordered them to just bring the property into compliance. That property has not been brought into complete compliance yet. Don't believe that this is a respondent in the case. I believe this is a person who wishes to speak about that case. One, two. Three, four. And then we have a couple petitions.
Okay.
Folks here.
All right.
If the respondent's not here, I guess you could accept these people to speak as part of comments to the board at a later time, and we could proceed with the cases, but that's who was here first.
Okay, so what I'm getting out of this is old business. We've already heard the case.
Yes, sir.
We've already instructed them what they do to come in compliance.
Yes, sir.
They are not in compliance.
Not completely in compliance.
And they're not here. The response is not.
I'm here.
I was told Angie Clifton.
Are you down here?
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then come on.
Yeah, we can start with that then. And as far as this is concerned, he's going to address whether they're in why they're not in compliance.
Correct. And they can request request addition.
All right, if the respondent can please come forward and be sworn in.
You swear affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. Randall Alborn, broker, Barnby Realty, 1811. East Fort King Street, Ocala, Florida, 44471.
Okay.
All right. I think it's been almost 2 months ago now. I got to stand here, too. The complainant, there was a little slip through the cracks case here. It's a five-acre tract located there on 14th Street, Northeast 23rd Avenue. As I told you, if you refresh your memory, I told you at the last meeting, Officer Kendi was kind enough to tell me who the complainant was. It was originally Officer Baker's case. I believe that's how it got started and kind of slipped through the cracks. I called multiple times at the office asking for Officer Baker. Officer Kendi called me back, told me who the complainant was the morning of the last hearing. I went over and made the attempt. First time I actually got to meet her was here that night. You as a board said you got 30 days. You told us we had to do the entire 5 acres of clearing. The complainant was not happy with what was done previously. And I also have Mr. Grover with Conrad Tree Service, who we spent $2,800 with cleaning prior to that last meeting. Since then, we hired a company out of Oviedo, Ferris Bobcat Service, that had a low impact mulching head come in, cleared the property, or half of the property. I believe the original complainant, Mrs. Hogan, has notified code enforcement, or at least she told me she did, and said she was completely happy with what was done. She never intended for the entire property to be cleared. She just wanted the back of her property cleared because of her husband being deceased and was unable to keep her fence line cleared. And he was a board directed me that the entire 5 acre parcel needed to be underbrushed, everything over 12 inches. And
I don't think we told you the whole lot. I think we told you it was 300 feet from the
whole lot. I mean, that's the whole lot. I mean,
300 feet within a residence.
Right.
Yeah, within every residence. I mean, okay. That's the entire parcel.
Okay.
And
so did you call to get the compliance visit?
That compliance visit?
Yeah.
We had the Bobcat Service come out after we'd already spent a little over $5,000 with Conrad. Had the Bobcat Service come up from Oviedo with a mulching head. I'm sure hopefully y'all are familiar with that. It goes through, basically mulches up everything. We didn't take out any trees over 4 inches, no permits necessary. Made the complainant very happy that I know of. I mean, she said she was, and I believe she did contact Officer Kendi and say she was happy. In fact, she even hired my guy that I hired to come onto her property and clean her property, so I think she's extremely happy. As we were clearing that day, I know a couple more code enforcement officers got called to the property because we were clearing the property. There's kind of a large handful of people here this evening that are very unhappy that the property is being cleared to the extent, which is only the extent that it has to be done. I thought Mr. Andy Clifton's called that day and said, hey, the property's being cut. Code enforcement officer came out and said, no, that's what the board said needs to be done. You're doing fine. Keep going. And again, talked to the property owner, and he's like, listen, I'm the same way as you. You know, if you can keep some happy and make the original complainant happy, maybe we can get by with this. Because, like I said, right now his bill is at almost $10,000. No intention of doing anything to that property. Now we have a property we've got to keep bush hog, which we will. At least the about a little over half of it that's been done. It looks great. I mean, it's just, unfortunately now the neighbors that are here tonight, they have to look through the apartment complex. Oh, and that was another nice comp. Mr. Grover can speak to that, too. The apartment complex that's located there on 14th Street, apparently we were being used as a landfill up on that side. So we had to spend some extra money cleaning up all their trash, too. We hauled out all the dead logs, six or seven tires we found. But like I said, we're just trying to make the neighbors happy, and I think you kind of expressed that you were trying to do the same last time. So I hope once you hear from the adjoining neighbors that want to keep it looking like it is, at least that end, hopefully you'll see that, because like I said, my landowner's just out of money for property that's not making money. So if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Or
yeah, so the land's been halfway done?
Yeah, I'd say Mr. Rich or Officer Kennedy met me there on site. It's right at about halfway complete.
Yeah, it's about halfway.
Okay. Is it in compliance with the code?
As it is? Portion of it is, yes.
Portion of it is, but what?
There are some tires on it that need to be cleaned up, but other than that, yes.
Okay, so what else needs to be done for it to come in compliance?
Well, again, only 2/3 of the lot has been mowed.
Okay, so the rest of the lot needs to be mowed.
In a whole,
it is not in compliance. And they're trying to see to get out from making the other last bit in compliance.
Well, and again, I'm sure some of the other folks that are here to speak tonight will kind of express their views on the amount of compliance that we did on that property was probably far exceeds what normal people would do. I mean, we came in there with a mulching head. I mean, really did it.
Yeah.
Right to your standards, but I mean, to selectively just say you have to do it, but yet the lot next door doesn't have to do it. That has some neighbors upset.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
Well, how come you just didn't do the whole lot then?
Yeah, sir, we just ran out of money. I mean, my property owner just ran out of money. Well, you'll hear from the rest of their, wow, we actually stopped. I mean, but we stopped just in response to the neighborhood just meeting me out there on the street and being accosted, saying, what the heck are you doing?
So, well, I guess we can hear from the neighbors, but my take on it is that we simply determine whether the property meets code or not. It either does it or it doesn't. And there's not going to really be an exception. We can't change code here.
Well,
we can only interpret it.
Not to be argumentative with Mr. Bockwitz, but I mean, what I was told at the last meeting, prior to that meeting, is that if the complainant was happy, you know, which she is now.
I think
the one
that I
complainant.
Remember that hearing,
no.
And that was not what was said.
The property has to come into compliance.
I'm not talking about this hearing, Ms. Laird. I'm talking about what I was told by code enforcement. Officer Kendi, she'll tell you, she called Mrs. Hogan that day and said, are you satisfied with the work that was done? She said nothing has been done. Again, Mr. Grover is here from Conrad saying we spent a significant amount of money prior to the mulching head coming in. And I mean, she stood up here and called me a liar. And so I asked Mr. Grover
to
come here.
The bottom line is, if the property's not in compliance, it needs to be brought into compliance. And 100%, not just 50% or 75%. We don't have the ability to change the code the way it's written.
Okay. Well, do I have an ability as a citizen to appeal the code?
I'm not sure what that process is.
Because,
we
I mean, again, I'd rather let some of the other neighbors speak.
Can we defer to the city attorney on that?
Because
what the process would be?
I'm entirely sure. You probably have an appeal right to the city council.
Yeah, he's got two options, actually, here. He can request for additional time because they've run out of money to complete the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can appeal the prior decision of the code board at the circuit court.
And again, not being argumentative.
But I think what he's asking is, like, how could he change it? Change the code?
No, I'm not talking about changing the code, but it's just appealing your board's decision.
Oh, okay.
Because here's my point, and again, I'm just making this point as a property owner, not in this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is a property, and some other people pointed this out to me. This is a property that simply, there was one lady that complained. If it was handled, again, civilly, code enforcement, what I think, Officer Baker, then not Officer Kendi, would have contacted me. My sign was right on the property. Said, Randy, is there any way, he knows me personally, and said, is there any way you could come clean this out behind it? I mean, Mr. Rich said at the last meeting, this was a case that kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. I think I don't know if that was the exact terminology, but he did say that. Because we didn't know who was complaining. So that's why I sent Mr. Grove out there with Conrad to walk up an entire down a 1,400-foot property line trying to make people happy.
Really, it doesn't matter who the complainant was. The complaint was made. Code enforcement went out and inspected the property. They determined it was out of code, and it wasn't taken care of to the point to where it came in front of the board. The board heard the case. We made a decision that according to the code enforcement rules as they are, that it was not in compliance, and we ordered that it be brought into compliance. And I don't think that's going to change. And if I mean, you have the right to appeal, but I don't see the board changing that decision.
I think last time that you were here too, that, you know, we gave you the time that you needed to clean the property, and you were happy with that, and then you come back and you say, now you did 2/3 of it, and you run out of money, and the neighbors say it's okay.
Listen, we could have kept going. The neighbors are what stopped us. I mean, the neighbors is what really stopped us, because we didn't want to be the enemy of the neighborhood there. And you'll, if I just step away here and if you take some comments from them. It's money. I mean, it's $10,000. And again, just one last point that I'd rather just walk away from this is, I mean, I guess my biggest issue per se is, how can you take our Mr. Downey's tract of property there when there's property right there on the corner, all up and down that street, all up and down everywhere?
Because nobody's made a complaint.
Right, and it comes, it's just what,
no, you can.
Point, you just made my point for me. Just nobody made a complaint, so.
But,
well, make complaints on them.
Yeah.
Then. I mean, okay. The law is the law.
All right. Well, have you already made your decision, or are you going to listen to somebody?
Well, there's nothing to decide right now, except your case is on the consent agenda for non-compliance, and you're already admitting that it's not fully in compliance. So we would probably proceed with that.
I'm admitting, and again, to kind of answer Mr. Spark, the only reason we were well within the time frame, the reason why we stopped is because the neighbors that are here in force tonight asked us to stop. So
the decision can be appealed at the circuit court, but I think we've already made our decision. So you need to comply with the order. If you don't want to comply with the order, you need to appeal it, and then I guess it'll be up to them.
I didn't interrupt you, but so are you going to give any of the neighbors any?
Well, I don't really know. I understand that, you know, they would like to see it stopped. The code is what it is. We can't make that decision. We've already heard the case. We've already made the decision. So if you disagree with the decision as the neighbors or as yourself, you would take it to the circuit court and have it heard there. This is not, I don't think this is the proper venue for that.
Or I believe you could ask for more time as well.
I don't think they want more time. They just don't want to do it because.
Well, yeah, I like to say, if I could just step away and you know, if you got a few minutes to listen to the neighbors, it's, and the reason why. I understand you're enforcing the ordinance as written, but.
I mean, even if they spoke, there's nothing.
There's a federal statute.
Yeah.
If someone allowed.
So, yeah, I understand. No, I'm telling you, I know you guys are obviously got to do what you've been sworn to do. So.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the case has already been heard, decision's already been made. If you want to appeal it for any reason, or any group of people want to appeal it for any reason, they have to go to the circuit court.
Right.
We're not going to change it here. We've already heard it and made a decision on it. So.
I would like to get the statute or the case cite from the case that she's talking about, if we can just get the case number for my own information.
Okay.
Or should I do that after the hearing?
Well, I mean, we can have her come up and give you the information if you want.
That sounds.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've got one person that wants to represent the group.
I think there's a few others in that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to make. I can't change the decision of the board. I just would like to know what the statute is, and I'm sure that other people would like to know what the statute is, so that if we're doing something wrong, we can change it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get changed right now.
Right. I understand. I mean, I trust me, I fully understand what you're faced with.
Okay.
I would point out that the board's direction did not involve in clear-cutting the property.
We didn't clear-cut the property. We didn't clear-cut the property at all. We took out the underbrush 4 inches in less than I am, and over 12 inches. We took out the potato vines. I mean, I'm sure you have pictures of it, what's been done. And we took out nothing that was not the needed required permits, none.
Okay.
In fact, the code enforcement officer that came out that day said, looks great, keep going. I mean.
Right.
So the first person that signed up would be Angie Clifton.
Okay.
Be sworn in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ma'am. It's Angela Clifton, 1106 Northeast 23rd Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Just to kind of give a little bit of a background for me, I was born and raised in Ocala. I'm the president of Wells Fargo here in Ocala. And this is the first time I've ever done this, so this is an experience for me, so I'm a little nervous. Speak to a lot of people, but never at this level, and I think that this is really, really important. I do have pictures that I will submit with regard to what it looks like at one half of the end of the property and what it looks like at the other end of the half of the property, and it's absolutely disgusting. Since it has been cleared, there has been lots of debris. There have been tires dropped off, and I've got pictures of all of that. And you can see, again, a deciphered difference between the two ends of the piece of the property, the one being cleared and the one not being cleared. Yes. So this... no, this is fine.
Put them here.
Okay. Wait. So this is... Wait, before we get too much further into this, we're not here to rehear the case, okay?
Well, can I just speak to that real quick? Because none of us were notified of a case. Because the ball was dropped, there was no opportunity for any of us to have a voice. I've been a taxpayer in this community my entire life. I support this community in so many ways you can't even imagine. And I called Jim Hilty because I didn't know what to do when we saw this piece of property being cleared. No one notified any of us. And we were told that because the ball got dropped on the end of code enforcement, nobody was notified. So I never got my chance to speak.
No.
Exception to people saying that we messed the case up. We did not mess this case up. He's referred to that now several times.
I had someone from your office.
Not messed up by code enforcement.
No, what you're hearing is that Dan Baker was retiring at the time.
Correct.
And so instead of hearing it the month
before,
it transferred to another officer. So instead of hearing the case a month earlier, it went a month later. It was nothing that the city did that was that they didn't follow the proper process.
Yeah, code enforcement.
Excuse me, sir. You're not up. You're not up at the podium right now. Please don't speak from the audience. Okay. So, I think when these kind of cases, they only go against the property owner. We don't notify the whole neighborhood. It's just the property. It's an issue between the city and the property owner. So you wouldn't be notified.
So nobody would have been notified any surrounding that piece of property?
No.
That there would be an opportunity to come and speak on behalf of the entire piece of property?
No.
Okay. And that's not what I was told, but that's okay. I was misinformed,
the
obviously.
The meeting's probably noticed.
Do what?
The meeting is noticed.
They are publicly noticed, of course.
The meetings are publicly noticed.
Okay.
But we don't.
One of the council members thought that I would have been sent a letter. That's all. And
no.
That the adjoining properties would have been
no.
sent. Okay. Well,
that's
obviously.
Just not part of the process.
It's not like
okay.
Right.
Obviously, right. I was misinformed then, so I didn't.
Okay. So.
What was this?
The federal issue is that any piece of property that has any and there's two specific animals, the gopher tortoise and the spotted owl.
Well, what I'm just asking is for the site of the case. I'm not asking for.
I don't have a site of the case. What's I can tell case? You that the property is federally protected
what
under
the.
I can. I'll give you all of this. I'll give you everything that I have.
Thank you.
I'm not an attorney, so I'm just telling you that these are items that were presented to me by the city attorney.
That's something that you might want to look into with the EPA.
I've already called. I've already called several other individuals. I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to know that this is an opportunity and that there is also, and I have pictures of the owls, of the spotted owls that are on the piece of property, dated and stamped, on that piece of property, clearly defined, and the pictures of the owls are here, and there's also pictures of the actual gopher nest that are on that specific piece of property. So that would mean that that piece of property, the entire piece of property, is federally protected based on what the research shows.
Well,
and again, I'm...
The landowner arguably might have some basis to avoid compliance with the code. You as a neighbor, I don't think would have standing to raise that environmental issue before this board. We were going way beyond the scope of what this board is.
Okay. Well,
designed to do.
I thought that there was an actual case.
And
there are cases, there are some referenced in this documentation.
Again, if somebody has proper standing and wants to, and that's, to my mind, only the landowner, wants to bring in a federal environmental issue to someone's attention, that would be done going to court, getting an injunction based on some federal environmental law.
Okay.
But that's just not what we're here for.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
We appreciate your concern. and bring this to our attention. And my partner's a city attorney, has not mentioned anything about supplying any federal statutes.
Okay.
Did you get it from Pat Gilligan?
I got it from his office.
From whom in the office, ma'am?
I just got it from someone in his office. That I should look at this. So that I should look at, I can assure you, I didn't just pull this out. I'm a banker. I'm not an environmentalist in any, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not any of that. But the facts are there.
I think the proper process would be that the actual landowner would go to civil court, and if he had an EPA issue, he'd bring that up as a reason.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
But as far as what we're doing here tonight, we'll probably go ahead and say that he's in non-compliance, and the fines will start until it's in compliance or until we hear otherwise.
Until somebody enjoins us from doing that.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that there are 17 other pieces of property between 8th Avenue and 36th Avenue that are identical. Again,
it doesn't. We only hear the cases that are brought against the specific landowner.
So we've got to make complaints on all those pieces of property.
Each one, yeah.
So the city basically.
People who run red lights who don't get pulled over.
I understand that.
And the people who do get pulled over.
So the city basically has a statute in place that says no new growth. So this is basically about new growth with regard to trees. Anything less than 4 inches has to be completely removed, because that's what's been done.
That's not what it says.
But that's what's been done.
That's what they were told, but it's certainly within their right.
So is there a miscommunication? And I also attempted to call the city myself. I personally left 7 messages. Nobody. You answered my phone when I demanded that somebody answer the telephone.
I'm trying to figure out what this has to do with this case. We've already.
It's all involved in this case.
But nothing that you're saying is going to have any effect on this board tonight. We've already told you what the process was, and I don't even know that you have a dog in this hunt other than that you live in the neighborhood.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I mean, the respondent is the one that has to pursue this. You wanted to say one more thing? Okay, if you could please.
You mentioned earlier that we can ask for more time. Obviously, we'll have to run this by the property owner. I'll work closely with Mr. Rich. I would, because obviously Mr. Grover and Conrad Tree Service is going to do the remainder of the work, since supposedly we're doing too much or too little or too perfect or whatever it is we're doing. Maybe Mr. Rich can get with Mr. Grover with Conrad and tell him what the minimum standards are for us to do or something.
All right. That'll work.
I don't know. Here's my request now, since I believe Mr. Porter brought it up. I mean, I can request more time to bring this in compliance or compliance or something.
We would be willing to do that.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
The only problem I see now, the previous lady that was up there was talking about gopher turtles on there and stuff, and there's got to be a permit pulled for that now to have that cleaning done.
Well, is that out of the scope of this board, or is that, who does that go
to? Absolutely, that's beyond the scope of this board.
Right, well.
Well, how much time would you need?
I've had other stuff, I'm sorry, Mr.
How much time would you need?
Because now that you know that there might be these animals on this property, now you've got to take steps to make sure.
Right. Well, and again, I live in my office on Fort King Street. I mean, I see spotted owls or owls. I'm not a hunter, but I don't hunt owls, so I don't know exactly what breed they are. But I guess we can follow the steps to do an environmental assessment like I've done on subdivisions before. But we have no intention of developing it. So I guess what I'm trying to find out in Mr. Rich, and again, no offense, but he told Mrs. Clifton, from what I was told, that we're doing too much. Code enforcement officer came there that day, said we were just fine. So I'm trying to find out the bare minimum to keep.
I'm sure that they'll work with
very
you.
Happy.
How
Mrs.
much
Hogan
time?
Is happy now.
How much time do you need?
You're looking to keep it simple, aren't you, Mrs. Bruce Laird? Can I ask for 60 days, and can I check with Mr.
Seven a year?
No.
I think what you can do is you can ask for the amount of time you need to discuss and what have you, and if you don't get it solved in that amount of time, you can bring the board back additional information and whatnot that can assist them.
I mean, if you're
I guess the biggest thing, and again, maybe I'm sure I'm repeating myself right now, but Mr. Rich said what we're doing is probably more excessive than what, but we want to be able to do it right so we can keep going in there with a bush hog and keep it clean, mm-hmm. so it doesn't grow back up, so we don't have any neighbors complaining in the future. But what's kind of the bare minimum we can do? Again, if you read the ordinance word for word, it's, you know, underbrush over 12 inches and anything and less than 4 inches in diameter.
Right.
And then, you know, we got the potato vines. That's why I brought in the mulching head, because when Mr. Grover went out there with his crew for the entire day, when you chop vines at the bottom, they're still hanging there.
So 60 days, and then we'll take it from there? I mean, if you get an injunction from the EPA or from whoever, then that'll take it out of our hands. But how much time do you need?
Maybe I'm asking the question clear enough. Is it Mr. Rich? He will clarify.
The code enforcement officers will clarify to the extent of what needs to be cleaned up. Okay. All we can do is tell you how much of an extension you get. Now, if you ask for a year, we're probably not going to go down that route.
Okay.
But if you ask for 60 days, I think that we might be able to deal with 60 days.
But then we would need some kind of update at the end of that time period.
Sure, I'd be more happy. I mean, like I said, I mean, I've been in constant communication with the office here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this officer ran over a cat in front of my office the other day, so.
Okay. Actually, just picking one up that was injured, not by
name. No, I know.
So we want to keep the record clear here.
Give us a number, sir.
90 days.
No, I'd like 60. I'd like to know what's going on.
60 and bring it back?
Not yet. That's fine. But, I mean, just so I'm perfectly clear before I leave this podium, we can, with Officer Kendi or Officer Rich or whoever, just kind of give us the minimum standard. And they're going to say we're in compliance?
Yes.
Okay.
They will let you know and sign off
okay.
on when it's in
compliance. Yeah, we'd be more than happy to send Conrad's back over there and hopefully somehow do it without a mulching head.
All right.
So I appreciate your time.
Can we make a motion to give them 60 days extra?
Yeah, we need to.
Do we have to pull it from the consent agenda first? Or?
No.
I make a motion that we accept the 60 days.
So 60 day extension, and they're going to have to revisit.
Revisit, yeah.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion by Donald and a second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Thank you. All right,
thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, we have some additional people to speak in that case.
Your screen's not working over here. Your IT person.
Why?
Okay. Next case.
What happened to my thing? Oh.
We have a petition here on CON 090913.
I don't have the petitions. Did you bring them?
It's at the bottom of the petition folder in your exhibit tonight.
It's in the blue one.
All the way to the back.
Which petition?
Okay, so.
The one that has all the.
09, this one. It's got a bunch of them on there. Redstone Capital?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There's several cases under that section. Starting at page 5 on your agenda, there's CON 090913, CON 10-1337, CON 11-1914, and CON 12-1721. Four cases total, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
We have the photos of the property in violation. We have the case cost sheets in your petition folder, copy of the petition there. And I've got some numbers and hopefully a possible recommendation to the board. I'd like to go through them one at a time if that suits the board so that we can rule on them individually.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. So I'll start off with CON09-0913.
Here, this is one.
Okay, that's fine. But you have my tax. Okay. So this property was acquired by Redstone Capital LLC, and it had several previous violations encumbered upon it. He's going to speak to that. On CON09-0913, we have a cost to the city of $1,163.32. It was 49 days in violation at a total of $1,225. The city would like costs paid in that. If I go to CON10-1337, the costs to the city were $229.70. The fine was $9,500. At 19 days of noncompliance, $500 per day as a repeat violator. On CON11-1914, the costs to the city were $242.75. And no fine because the city just brought it directly into compliance as a repeat. On CON12-1721, the costs to the city were $508.13 and the fine was $6,000. 6 days in violation as a repeat violator at $500 a day.
Did you say 6 days?
6 days at $500 per day.
Isn't that 3,000?
Two violations.
Yes. What about the administrative costs?
That's included in the cost figure that I give you. That's actual cost to the city.
So the city's looking just to recover the $1,038.32, $229.70, $242.75, and $508.13.
That's the city's request. I would defer to your opinion on fines. Officer Thomas says that he has worked with these new folks that have taken over this property. They have worked with him. Our objective is, of course, not to be as punitive. We'd like to collect, of course, the city's costs, realizing that they're going to upgrade the property, take care of it, and put it back on lawful ownership and good terms with the city. If you feel that a portion of the fine, I know that generally, we reduce the fine by 50% in these kinds of situations. But in this particular situation, it's a little unique because it was an estate. It had to go through a process to get resolved. It went through several ownerships, I think three or four ownerships. I'd be willing to let them discuss this prior to their taking it over. From the city's perspective, we'd like to make it a productive property again. And I think that after he speaks, he can make any argument that he would like to you in reference to fines, but the city would certainly wish to recover all costs.
Okay, and then what is the total in fines for the four cases?
I'm sorry, the fines total, if you give me just a minute, I'll figure it out for you. We've got $1,225 on case number one. I have $9,500 on case number two. And on case number three, we have $6,000. And the total is $16,725.
Okay. Would the representative or respondent like to come
forward? We do have a new respondent here.
Okay.
That wishes to address the board.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Do you want to swear me in, or?
Are you an attorney?
No, I am not.
Okay, please be sworn in.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could just state your name and address for the record.
Stephen Stout, 611 South Port Harrison Avenue, Suite 133, Clearwater, Florida, 33756.
If I can inquire just for a moment, could you explain your relationship to Redstone Capital LLC?
Absolutely. Redstone Capital is owned by me and my partner, Rob Kilgo. We acquired about 15 properties from a particular company. This was acquired or occurred through a tax deed sale. Nobody bid on the property because of the liens and the shape of the property. Went back to the certificate holder. They intend on doing zero with it and just letting it go back to sale or whatever happens with it. We brought it into compliance immediately. Got a hold of the officer that was assigned to that area. Did everything, and we actually acquired two properties. The other one had no liens on it. And did everything they required. We've contracted with the local lawn service. We've kept the property up. I'd like some relief so we can move forward and get this thing fixed up and sold.
Okay, so are you're okay with the city's request about covering their costs?
I'd like to know the total of those hard costs.
I think it's, I came up with 2018-90.
Well, I mean,
hard costs?
For the four, yeah.
I think it's a little bit closer to 2100, but.
Let me add those up.
He gave them pretty quickly, so 100%
on that. Cost, in the first case, the costs were $1,163.32. The cost in the second case were $229.70. The cost in the third case was $242.75. And the cost in the fourth case was $508.13.
Okay, so that's a little bit different.
$2,143.90.
All right, and then, okay, so $2,143.90 is the number that is what the city has spent.
I would love to have that happen so I can move forward, and if I could just have 7 business days to mail payment for that.
I think we could be in agreement with that.
Okay. I want to hear from the officer first.
The officer Thomas. Officer Thomas had 2 of the cases. The others are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Thomas, you've been working with this man on a regular basis?
Yes.
Has he done everything he said he would do?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's willing to work with you guys?
I didn't meet him on site. I met his people on site. Mm-hmm. Went through. They asked directly what they wanted done or needed to be done, and I pointed them out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for the city? Any other questions for the respondent?
I make a motion that we accept the $2,000. How much was the hard cost?
The hard costs.
The hard costs are $2,143.90.
Yeah. We just charge them the hard cost.
If paid within 7 days?
And pay in 7 days.
And
in result, he doesn't pay in 7 days, it goes back to
the business days?
$9,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree to that. 7 days, 7 business days.
7 business days.
I'll find those, like, overhead check tomorrow.
Let's make sure that's noted for the record that it's business days, since we don't want it to get confused with calendar days. Okay, so the motion is for to reduce the fines to zero and to recoup the hard cost of $2,143.90 if paid within 7 days, 7 business days, or reverse the original amount. That's the motion from Donald. That's the second from Jason. I thought Danielle had it.
I apologize.
No,
go for it.
Okay, second from Jason. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? It passed unanimous. So, sir, if you can just go ahead and take care of that.
Understood. Okay, thank you for your time tonight.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have another request here, but I don't have it on your agenda, so I don't know what the request is for. He's Jerry Stevens?
There's a Stevens.
Okay, is it just the wrong case number? I'm sorry.
It looks like it's COO.
I need just a moment.
1894.
I'm sorry?
COO 1894, 1384.
Okay. Then we would go to page 5, middle of the agenda on page 5. COO 1394. just to catch up with you all, it was missing it for some reason. This is the case of the City of Ocala, Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Jerry and Gail Stevens, a location at 620 Southeast 1st Ave, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2822-025-005. Legal service was obtained on 11/13/2013 for the notice of violation, and certified mail was returned for the notice of hearing. Our office posted the property on 11/8/2013 for the notice of violation, on 11/2/2013 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the residents have not taken corrective action to clear the violation. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of this case, staff has included a copy of the photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Thomas is here prepared to testify in the case, and staff has a recommendation to find the respondents guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to 1, cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. If you have any questions of staff, Officer Thomas is here prepared to answer any questions. If not, the respondent wishes to speak.
Any questions for the city? If the respondent would like to come forward, please.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Jerry Stevens, Stevens, 933 Southeast 12th Place, Ocala. When we first became aware that there was a code action against this property, I called, talked to Officer Thomas, clarified what needed to be done, and we had a guy go over, I believe, the weekend after Christmas. And he explained to me that we needed to limb up and clean the property to the fence line. I guess there was a problem with some vagrancy and things like that taking place there. So immediately upon hearing that that's what we needed to do, we had that work done. The gentleman I had over there on that Sunday had called me, this was right at New Year's, and said, well, I cleaned up, but I cut everything down, but I had to leave and I didn't get to haul off the trash. So I said, well, I'll find out if that's okay. It's all organic matter. I don't know what the issue would be with that. So I called the Monday before New Year's. Officer Thomas was away and left a message that we had indeed limbed up the property according to the request. And was there anything else that we needed to do? We'd certainly see to it immediately. When I talked to her, my wife actually talked to Officer Thomas today, and he said, well, it needed to be the debris needed to be cleaned up and hauled off. It's not a pile of debris. It's just deleterious material from where it was knocked down at the fence line. Had we been aware that we needed to get over there and get it out of there, we certainly would have done it because we complied immediately with the request to clean things up. And we can have it cleaned quickly. So that's the case.
How long would it take you to clean it?
Well, I talked to the guy who did it for me originally. He said he would do it by a week from Friday, but I have a call into someone else to see if we can get it done quicker than that. So the latest it would be a week from tomorrow.
So 2 weeks would be
enough. 2 weeks?
Time.
Oh, 2 weeks would be more than enough. If we can get somebody over there next day or two, we'll have it raked and removed.
Okay. Well, it seems like it's in line with the staff's recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get it done within 2 weeks, then call code enforcement for an inspection.
That's our intent.
Okay.
Prior to the board passing the motion, may I?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
in some respect, I have to kind of echo what his comments were in that during the holidays, we were not probably available to answer his phone call. So in that situation, I think in light of his willingness to work with code enforcement, and he did get with Dwayne right when Dwayne got back, and then found out that he still needed to clear out the stuff, I'm kind of wanting to give him the 2 weeks, withdraw the case if he can assure us that he will maintain the property in proper condition after he's had Officer Thomas re-inspect it. And the reason why I would say that is because we have two complainants here. The church that's adjacent to this property, and of course the mayor who the church calls. So I think that the goal here was to, you know, get it cut and cleaned up and taken away. And in light of his willingness to work with us, Dwayne was out for, I believe, almost a week. And so that might have created a delay in him getting the work done as he's indicated he wants to do for the board. The place is completely at the board's
Well, is the city wanting to withdraw the case?
Well, I would first ask from the respondent if he's going to stick up with what he said there and maintain it, or, you know.
Just as we said, we would get it lent up when we found out there was a violation. So will we act on this?
So I guess what I would like to do is just with 2 weeks and withhold the cost of prosecution was what I would like to amend my staff recommendation.
Okay, so you're going to go with the staff recommendation, but if it's in compliance within 2 weeks, then you're going to withdraw
the cost of prosecution, because I think that we have both situations here combined to create a situation where we needed to bring it to the board.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what he was specifically going to bring to the board, but I think I would like to have the order so that if we have a recurring problem, we will have already had an order.
I'd make a motion to accept the amended staff recommendation.
I have a motion from Danielle.
I'll second.
A second from Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Thank you, sir.
May I speak just a moment for continuing maintenance? Or is there that of any concern to you, just to maybe allay your fears?
Well, I think you can talk to...
I can speak to the board. You can talk to us another time.
Okay. Well, just when we purchased this property some years ago, we intended to build an office on it. It's a little postage stamp lot. Ideally, the church should own it. We're presently working on a design for a non-denominational chapel to approach the church and see if they're interested in pursuing anything like that. It would be an ideal use for this little piece of property that's almost useless for anything else.
No.
Our little office operation would have worked there, but we decided not to pursue that. But the point remains that it's been vacant for these number of years. We have mowed it. Over the years, what Officer Thomas observed grew to where the mower line didn't really get to it, and it grew up. We had a regular routine of maintenance. We had a couple of times where it was clearly overgrown in the summer, needed to be whacked down, and we might get a call, we'd go over there and whack it down. During this time also, we had a transition of how that continuing maintenance took place, and now we're directly responsible for it. We had a third party involved at one time, so I can assure the board and Officer Thomas that maintenance will be forthcoming. So.
Well, we appreciate that very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Appreciate it. That'll bring us to page 2 of the agenda this evening, CON 13-1738. This is the case of the City of Ocala versus Lionel and Rosa M. Gridell.
Good try.
Gridell. And the Bank of America. A location of 1234 Northeast 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. And Section 34141 through 145, property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. The parcel ID is 2610006046. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've also included a copy of the best pendants, a sunbiz report, and the current property registration.
The summary of findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint. Upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. Additional investigation revealed that the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Further investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Staff has a stack recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We've included photographs of the current condition of the property. I would point out that Officer Kennedy started out with a nice letter, had to go through all the steps, and I'm just looking for the problem with the registration listed, so I can report that to the board. There is no current registration, so we're requiring a proper registration. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions that the board may have. I would point out for the record that there is no representation by the respondent here this evening.
Okay. I'll second. Motion from Danielle, second from Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That will bring us to the bottom of page 2 of the presentation on your agenda this evening, COM 13-1815, a case of City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Tony M. Binge E. Jr., a location of 3029 Southeast 46th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 29736-001-101. All certified mail has been returned, and we've posted the properties indicated on page 2 of your presentation. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to citizens' complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. And I would point out for the record that Officer Kennedy is prepared to testify to any questions that you may have, and there is no representation here this evening by the respondent.
I make a motion we accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion from Don, second from Danielle. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to COM 13-1816 on the next page of your agenda. It'll be the top of page 3. A case of the City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Tony M. Benji, Jr. A location at 3105 Southeast 46th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 27-29736-001-103. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We essentially have the same staff findings. Officer Kennedy responded due to citizen's complaint, found the property in violation, noticed the respondent who failed to take any corrective action. Staff has a similar staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this property. We've included any photographs of the property as it's out there, indicated out there now, and I would point out for the record that the respondent is not present.
Any questions for the city?
No.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion from Danielle. Second from Kyle. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to COM 13-1873. The City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Kenneth Schooley and Bank of America, 1814 Northeast 29th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495 and Section 34143. The parcel ID is 2450-001-007. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've included photographic evidence at the end of your presentation. And the summary of findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to citizens' complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed that the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the property to be registered by the bank. However, the respondents have not come into compliance with the overgrown and maintenance violations. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We're prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and I would point out for the record that there is no respondent present for the meeting this evening.
What's the maintenance requirement again?
The maintenance requirement is that the property be kept clean and clear of trash, litter, debris, like newspapers, flyers, things of that nature.
Okay.
That the hedges be brought into compliance, cut, trimmed.
Gotcha.
That the property be cut and cleaned as required in the code.
Okay. I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Danielle. Second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That would bring us to page, the middle of page 3 of your agenda this evening, CUM 131892, the City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus BV Triple Crown LLC, a location at 2701 Northeast 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 26774-000-00. Legal service has been obtained and posting has been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed that respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs at the end of your presentation of the current condition of the property. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We're prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And I would point out for the record that we do not have the respondents present this evening to speak on behalf of the property.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Danielle. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to case CUM 131937, the City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Pilot Financial Inc.
1931.
I apologize. Pilot Financial Inc. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The location is 1005 Northeast 19th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, section 82181, and section 82182. The parcel ID is 25872-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. The structural evaluation was requested on this property and a score of 40 was achieved by Inspector David Thompson, the building department. We've also included copies of additional correspondence of the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance with city property and previously. We would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. Staff has included photographs at the end of your presentation. The summary of findings that Officer Maureen Kenny located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code that it contains junk and debris and is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Further investigation revealed that in 2011, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Additionally, Officer Kennedy requested a structural evaluation. Inspector David Thompson responded, completing the inspection, which resulted in a score of 40 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida building code regulations. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy all the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. There is a copy of the structural evaluation. I believe it's on page 6.
14.
It is on page 14.
Yes.
Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We're prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this case. I would point out that the respondent is not present for the hearing this evening.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
A motion from Danielle and a second from Don. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the top of page 4 of the agenda this evening, CUM 131946. The City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Federal National Mortgage Association. I would point out for the board that we were proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The location is 717 Southeast 34th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495 and section 34141 through 145. The parcel ID is 2786-003-003. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. And additionally, the city's provided with the correspondence of the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, where the city brought the property into compliance. The city would require a property registration, and the summary of findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Further investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Special Magistrate and found guilty for a code section violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecure condition and the possibility of transient and neighborhood children activity at the property. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy all the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. As it stands, Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. I'm sorry. It wasn't dangerous, is it?
No.
Just the registration and the neighborhood, right? Staff make a recommendation or would change that's not a dangerous property.
Yeah, I've actually only seen the 3495 mm-hmm. and the 34141, 145 on here.
So
I don't see the other.
The front at the bottom of page 2 of the photographs shows that the property is in overgrown condition and there is no registration on the property.
That's all I'm saying is the two violations.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't know how I got, I'm got papers cross motionated here. I apologize for that.
So it's just that the weeds?
Just the weeds, 3495 and 34141 through 145.
I can't make a motion to accept staff recommendations for those.
Motion by Danielle. We have a second.
Second
by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
There you go. Thank you. That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, CO-13-1548. That's the case of the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Margie Jocelyn. A location at 714 Northwest 1st Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 2844-009-005. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've also included photographs of the current condition of the property out there. The summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to the property due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. We've included photographs with the current condition of the property and we're prepared to answer any questions. I would point out for the record that the respondent is not present to speak in this case.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Danielle and a second from Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, CUN 13-1867, the City of Ocala, Officer Dwayne Thomas versus the estate of Herbert Mack, care of Beverly Mack Johnson, a location of 110 and 112 Northwest 7th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 2844-008-001. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've included photographs of the current condition of the property at the end of your presentation. The summary of findings that Officer Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondents have not taken complete corrective action on the violations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Officer Thomas, prepared to answer any questions that you may have in this case. We do not have a respondent present this evening. For the case, the staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
We have a motion from Danielle. Do we have a second? Second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 4 of your agenda this evening, CON 13-1869. the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Arif Sharif, the 700 block of Southwest First Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 2844-009-001. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. As part of the additional correspondence, we've included a letter from the owner. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint upon arrival, observed the property in violation of the city's code, and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. As it stands, Officer Thomas prepared to answer any questions that you may have. I would point out for the record that there is no respondent to represent this case this evening, and staff has included the staff recommendation bottom of page 2.
Any questions for the city?
Has the city had any correspondence other than this letter with this individual?
I'd have to defer to Officer Thomas in this case.
Yes, I have. Routinely, yearly. The gentleman actually doesn't do anything until I call him, send him a letter. Once we do that, then he takes action, but this time he didn't take any action. His letter speaks for what his situation is. But.
Okay.
You know what kind of business he's in?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I have a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Don. We have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the top of page 5 of the agenda this evening. I'm going to do the best I can here. COM 13-1870, a case involving the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Sokadeo Chanderban. I hope I got it close. A location of the 700 block of West Silver Springs Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 2844-009-008. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We have included photographs at the end of your presentation of the current condition of the property. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to citizens' complaint upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code, and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondent has not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I would point out for the record that there is no respondent representation this evening. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
I make a motion we accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Don. We have a second.
Second
by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
I would point out for the board that we've taken care of the case for Jerry and Gail Stevens already, and that brings us to the petition to request reduction of penalty.
There's only one left, right?
Yes, sir. That would be CEB 070027. The petition is in your file there. We have also included a copy of the case call sheet and a copy of the case photos. There were a couple other vehicles there that were an additional section of the case file that don't show all the photos, but the one photo there was the vehicle that was left there the longest. This respondent apparently obtained this property via tax lien and then noticed that there was liens on the property. The lien that we have is for a violation of 203 days at $25 per day for a total of $5,075. I would leave that at the board's good determination if they would like to.
Did the person that,
and how much they would like to reduce it by.
Did the person that bought this property, are they occupying it?
No, sir.
Wonder why they didn't come.
Is there any,
well, they don't have to because they put in a
like, are they,
petition.
Did they say anything about what they're going to use it for, or are they just?
Well, I'm pretty familiar with this respondent. He generally just buys properties and sells them. Is that your experience with him.
Okay, so has everybody read the petition or why they're asking for it? Let's just read into the record real quick. I became the new homeowner on November 20th. I'm willing to pay administrative costs, but would like to request the fines be waived and a partial release of lien be granted. What are the administrative costs?
City has no cost in this case. The board's order was the fine. This was back in the days of...
And this was for not removing the cars?
Gene Engler, yes, sir. The pictures that were on this are the picture of the last vehicle that was remaining there. There was two previous vehicles there, and then that one.
Is that vehicle still there now?
No, sir. The last picture shows that it was removed. It's time date stamped.
Who removed
but it was
it?
203 days later.
Who removed it? Was it stolen?
Probably one of those signs that says we take junk cars, $250.
I don't see why we shouldn't.
I think he probably got the property at a
tax sale,
yeah.
Significantly reduced rate, but
I don't know. We
still the same. He's going to be paying taxes and cleaning up the property and reusing it. So
sometimes
you
want
to reduce it to
10%,
like $500.
That sounds good.
I think $1,000. I don't think you should get a free ride just because the transfer's ownership. I mean, I'm sure they got it at a steep discount because of the fine that was on there.
Yeah. He should have known about the fine. That's true.
They are
responsible
Joe,
for this.
Can I
Joe
ask?
Joe generally does
he's
not.
In that business.
You said you know this fella, and he usually...
Joe Brown?
Yes.
Well, we deal with him quite a bit in code enforcement. Actually.
And he usually takes care of everything he says he does?
No.
Okay. Then $1,000.
I'd like to keep it at the whole thing.
Keep the whole thing in
yep.
place?
No. I don't know. We usually give everybody an opportunity.
So, nice to get it taken care of, too.
Well maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
We might see it again.
That's true.
But, I mean, if we do, that's... We can't... I don't think we can make a decision based on what we think he might do in the future. I think, to be fair...
I think we should get $2,000.
Well, I thought $1,000 was fair. I was going to do $500, so...
But, I'll do $2,000.
Well, somebody's got to make a motion.
I make a motion that we take it to $2,000.
I'll second that.
Don, you caving. We have a motion by Don and a second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pass unanimous.
I didn't cave.
You didn't. Also didn't say how long they had to pay it.
Oh, 14 days.
14 business days?
Sure. You'll be generous.
Okay, so reduce to 2,000 if paid within 14 business days.
14. I would point out for the record that we've taken care of the remaining case on that page of the agenda, and we've taken care of the remaining cases on the rest of the agenda, which brings us to page 6, old business. I would represent that under the consent agenda for non-compliance, that we've removed CUM 13-1383, Downey Industrial Land LLC, and granted them a 60-day extension. Therefore, leaving the remaining cases, CUM 13-1328, CUM 13-1381, CUM 13-1525, CUM 13-1595, CUM 13-1635, CUM 13-1713, CUM 13-1807, CUM 13-1821, CUM 13-1839, CUM 13-1852, and CUM 13-1898, remaining as non-compliant. I would certify to the board that we have an affidavit of non-compliance in each one of these cases signed by the officer, and would respectfully request the motion to accept them as a consent agenda item for non-compliance in order to proceed with the board's previous orders in the case.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion to accept.
Second.
I have a second motion is by Danielle. A second is by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Pass unanimous.
Okay. That brings us to page 7 of the agenda. And we have one item on there for discussion. This is the annual motion for the rules of presentation of cases in order granting posting of notice. For those of you who are not familiar, annually we bring and respectfully request of the board a motion to accept these by the board. The rules for presentation of cases establish allotment for hearing times, what have you, as indicated on the copies that I've given to you. And the motion to post, as you're aware, by Chapter 16212, subsection 2-1, the board at the option can direct that we are allowed to post a property in lieu of publication under the state law. And so we would respectfully request a motion to accept both of these by the board.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion from Danielle. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
The city has one other item of business this evening, and that would be to accept all testimony, evidence, and presentations of the city and other respondents and witnesses into the record.
We have a motion to accept.
I move that motion.
That's Danielle. Second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimous.
Finally, the city would say that we hope you had a great New Year's Eve. New Year's Day.
We did.
And the city rests.
Okay. Any comments need to be made from the city? Any comments from the code board? We have elections next month.
Yes, sir. You have elections next month, and I do would point out to the board that you have indicated that you next month is your last meeting.
It is my last meeting this month. I've been with the code board for 12 years now, and 4 years as a chairman, and I'm gonna try to get involved in some other things. But I enjoyed my time here, so.
So you'd be passing the gavel.
Passing the gavel. That's what we
and
need to
so
do.
So we would certainly solicit from other board members if they know someone who is willing to take your place, or if you've had someone turn in.
Yeah, I'd say I've given somebody an application. They should be, I'll follow up with them on it, but you know, we'll try to get some folks rounded up and see if generate some interest. It's good to get out there and serve your community. So hopefully we can find some like-minded folks.
We certainly appreciate and need all of yours, as you can see from this evening.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we handle that all right tonight. But the first one we heard.
Oh, I.
They're not done, but we handled it from the board.
I don't think we've heard the last of them, but
it got a little wily, but.
Yeah.
They just, I mean, if there's a animal situation, then they need to go to the animal people.
Yeah, this just isn't the place for it to be around.
I don't know.
No, I mean, if a property owner had an issue, we cited them, and they came forward and said, I can't comply with this because the EPA said they can't do what you're asking me to do. Well, you know, that might give them grounds for being excused.
Right.
But, you know, to have a neighbor come in and say, tortoise gophers on the property.
But that makes it difficult for the officers now, because now they have to say there's
turtles
there. Well, I don't think it does. Again, it's the landowner's it's the owner's responsibility to comply with all the laws.
It's going to be the person that clears the property has the problem.
Environmental laws. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The contractor.
And really, from my experience with gopher tortoise and Dwayne reminded me of this, if you're not digging in the ground,
right,
it's okay to cut the grass.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
And they aren't digging or dislodging them, and I mean, I've got owls in my neighborhood, and they seem to be just home.
Yeah, I'm out of my yard too.
Got plenty of turtles.
All night long.
Okay.
But you believe me, we haven't heard any of it. We'll hear our staff too.
I don't think we've heard. I'm curious to find out who in my office helped.
Okay, any other items? We're good to go? Okay, meeting adjourned.